Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from The Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to The Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Let's give it a shot.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe?
The perfectly fine mobile horror companion. If those of you that are into podcasts like to listen to that kind of stuff,
I can't hear it.
Hey, welcome to the mobile horror companion. My name is Carlos Danger, and joining me is my goddamn co-host, Mr. Brian Spears, who can't hear my dog barking. What's going on, Brian?
Hello.
And this is a very special episode of the Mobile Horror Companion because we're starting a series. It's called Podcasts We've Invited On to Our Podcast, But They've Never Returned the Favor. And with that...
Well, actually,
that's a great series name.
You know what, though?
There's so many. Apocalypse Now with Joanna Van... What's her name? Never invited.
Oh, yeah. But I think you're forgetting that I invited you onto our radio show, which you were on, which is actually...
Yes.
Yeah, right. You know, so...
It was so long ago, it's when people listened to radio.
They're not interested in radio.
1988.
Cousin Brucey was there.
Yeah, and I believe the second time it was Sir John, who I'm convinced didn't realize he was he thought I was somebody else when I showed up. He was like, oh shit, this guy. I think he thought I was the Nomcast.
I'm not convinced he's a real person.
Yeah.
Sir John, could be. All right, so no, I'm just kidding there, because actually that's Pint of Comics. That's some other podcast we're not going to talk about, because we're here to talk about a brand new venture you young men have called On the QT. Who wants to start and explain to us what the hell that is?
I don't know. I'll go.
You go. All right.
I can't. Sure. I'm not on it.
I mean, Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
All right. This is Lloyd. We're working with Forgotten Entertainment. I don't know if you know those guys, but they're a podcast network. They have a lot of podcasts, and we're working with them. I think it's going to be available in May. And we are going through all the Quentin Tarantino films, all directed by Tarantino. All the way from Reservoir Dogs to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
we're doing now only the ones he's directed.
Correct.
No True Romance.
Right. Not okay. We've left it open that if they want us, because the thing is that they Forgotten Entertainment, they do have a podcast wing and they do other things as well. They want to have series that are like mini series, so like something like
okay,
this.
Okay, so you're getting your 10 episodes out of you guys.
10 episodes, kind of, and then moving
that's
on.
Right.
I had spoken to Mike Field, who is one of the guys from Forgotten Entertainment, and we've done shows with them in the past on Pint of Comics. And on Pint of Comics, we do different series. You know, we've got the Pint Movie Invitational and the Triple T.
I thought you guys only did horror movies.
No, we do those much.
All right.
And much better than you guys, by the way. But in any case, we do the horror films. Jeez. We do all that stuff. But I had talked to Mike about, I had had an idea to do a 10 episode, essentially what would be on the QT in Pint of Comics. So like we would record them, and then over the course of who knows a year and a half, they would slowly come out. And he had said that they had just been starting to branch out into looking for new shows. They were looking for mini series essentially. And would you want to do that for us instead of like on your show? And I thought, you know what? It's a good idea because it will come out 10 weeks in a row. It'll be done, as opposed to where literally if we did it, it would be Reservoir Dogs would come out like in June.
It would take two years
because we'd be doing other episodes in between. So yeah, I told him it was a great idea. And it's essentially going to be, I think, 11 episodes. There's going to be an introduction episode, Reservoir Dogs through Once Upon a Time. And we've talked about the idea of possibly after that maybe doing like Natural Born Killers, True Romance,
like a bonus episode,
Yeah, maybe do
maybe a calendar. Who the fuck
are you doing? Kill Bill as one volume, like you know, Kill
No two shows
with two different guests. Yeah, and initially I wondered how we should do that because you know he considered it one movie at one point, but obviously you know it is, but it's not at the same time. If he had ever come out with that,
he only did that so he could get away with saying he wants to make 10 films and he's getting closer and closer to that 10 film. So he has to, you know, bring back like, Kill Bill's like one film.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also don't believe that 10 film thing at all. I don't believe, you know, it's right up there along the lines with Ozzy Osbourne's going to retire after the next tour or that Motley Crue's last tour was the last, which they've already proved is not going to be. It's another one of these things. It's like, I don't know why these people say this shit. Just don't limit yourself. Just say at some point I'm going to know when I'm done. I'm done. You know,
it's a money grab.
It is a money grab because you get people that think, oh, I got to go see this last Tarantino. It's not going to be the last Tarantino movie.
I'm curious, what the hell is a podcast network at this point? And what do you think the advantages are of being in one, if any?
None. I want to correct it in a way because they don't call themselves a podcast network. They're essentially like a multimedia company where they're looking to do a ton of different things, and podcasting is one of the things. So there's, I guess, a podcast network aspect to it. I don't know. I guess a podcast network, the idea is that if you are aligned with these other shows and promote each other, that you gain listeners. Whether that's true or not, I have no clue, because with Pint of Comics, we've had the opportunity to do a couple things with some friends that would be like a loose network, and we've never done it. And I also don't know, you know, I don't think it's negative, but I also don't really know necessarily if it's going to drive someone. I listen to shows that have, you know, networks, and I don't listen to any of the other network shows. So if it's not,
yeah, working, I guess I was asking, like, were they like selling advertising or something like that?
And I don't want to get too far into their business, but these guys are. So for Forgotten Entertainment, there is an advertising aspect to it. I don't know the ins of how they're working this as a business, but this is actually like a business that they're doing. So there's a whole nother wing of that that I don't understand, and I'm not too, you know,
right.
Too
we're not so fancy pants as that.
So you guys just record a show. And you could record it at your basically your own leisure.
Yeah. So they told us they wanted to start from the time we decided to do this, I think like in November. They said we want to start it in the summer of 2021, which is fine. So they just,
you know what I thought about real quick? Yeah. I hate to interrupt. This is like we're diving deep. And our two listeners were actually interviewing. So that's the only thing that sucks about this whole thing.
And Lloyd only started listening when he got invited on a couple of days ago.
Yeah. No, I've been hardcore listening. I've listened before. Come on.
I've been a hardcore listener for years. So
yeah. I like it. The last episode we did, Brian, I didn't even mention this to you, but the last episode we did, we talked about the hotel documentary on
Netflix.
Cecil Hotel. Yeah.
At the very end, I started talking about, or we brought up like we always do, the movie Arkansas and how Johnny Ganache didn't like it. So I called it Arizona, and I think
I was wondering about that. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Brian, you called it like Albuquerque, and then I called it Arkansas, and I saw it like I watched it, you know, and before we posted it, and I was gonna put like in the video, you know, a correction, but I was like, you know, who's gonna notice?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares? Johnny Ganache on Twitter.
Wait a minute.
Of course.
Immediately starts insulting me.
No.
And on one hand, I was really angry. On the other hand, I'm like, holy cow, that's like it was like a 49 minute podcast. That was minute like 48.
I listened beginning to end, but the reason
I was impressed.
Here's where I have to come back and defend myself. You were making fun of me in your point on that. So yeah. you're going, oh, Johnny Ganache, he doesn't like great movies like Arizona. So the point I had to make was that you're making fun of me for not liking a movie you love so much that you don't even know the fucking name of.
When I heard that, I didn't know what you're talking about. I thought you meant Raising Arizona.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I don't know what I meant either. You got
to. You know what? You called me a serial killer way back when with Birdseye.
Oh
yes,
I remember. I was listening. Don't worry, I listen to your podcast.
I was going to say I say that in messages. I didn't realize I made that public. But Birdsey's another guy that's we've invited. He's got a podcast. Nothing. No love for the mobile.
I have never.
By
been
the on... way, here's my Peabody Award. Just so you know, it was on the shelf here. just like you guys predicted.
That looks like something from Pornhub.
No, that's actually a fantasy football thing.
Lloyd is living some type of life. I don't even want to ask Lloyd too many questions because I don't want to get too deep.
Yeah, you don't want to know how deep it goes.
Lloyd's got the professional lighting going on. He's got all the Funko things.
Those pops
him.
Are actually fingers of his victims.
Yes,
that's right.
Just in pop boxes.
So has Lloyd taken over the Pint of Comics podcast? And if anybody doesn't know, these guys are also on Pint of Comics, which is an established, probably the hardest working podcast, at least in Connecticut. I was going to say in show business, but what do I know? But is Lloyd taking this over, John?
No, see, I'm coming out of my shell here. I don't usually do this so much on our show because Johnny Ganache, Ghoulish Panache, he's the personality of our podcast.
That's not true. That's not true.
I'm the straight guy.
Lloyd is the straight guy, but he is also Lloyd, which I try to point out as much as I can, and I forget sometimes. Like, if you see, like, on Facebook, a lot of our art and promos and stuff, that's Lloyd. Lloyd does...
Like the daily, like, this is your pop culture reference of the day.
No, that's actually John, which is... the picture.
All right.
That's Sir John. John is, you know, John is not on the podcast anymore, but he still runs the radio show, and we run the Facebook page together. But like, look, he did this just for you guys.
Just for you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't finish it because Johnny told me we were not actually recording tonight. So I said, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to finish this thing. And then he said, we are. And I said, okay, I take it all back.
That's our next promo. Fuck these guys.
That's going to be the title of this episode. I'm literally speechless, though. I don't know what I just looked at, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, I'll send it to you when I finish it. It's not actually finished.
Wow, look at that. Now I don't want to. Now I don't feel so bad for never being invited on the Pint of Comics podcast.
You've been invited. You will come on. You are not necessarily the easiest guy to get a hold of either. You know, I was joking with. I'll bring him up because he gets brought up as much as we do on your show. Our buddy Scary Larry Dwyer, and here's the Mobile Horror Companions idea of asking you on their podcast. Friday night.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second. Nobody else is weirded out by the fact that Larry loves Some Kind of Wonderful as much as he does.
No.
I don't mean to disparage the guy, but that's weird to me. But then as on Twitter, ever since he came out of the closet with his love for Some Kind of Wonderful, it's all over Twitter. That has an immense following that I had no idea existed.
It's certainly but not my favorite John Hughes
Funk
movie.
Railroad. Come
but
on.
It's a good one. It's awesome. No, the movie. Eric Stoltz.
I could definitely go for some Grand Funk Railroad. Though.
So real quick, I do want to just disparage on you a little bit. So the Mobile Horror Companion, I've invited you on. We're going to do Way of the Gun. We'll have Brian and we'll do something. And we try to plan ahead and get all this stuff. You're a busy guy. I get it. Your day job's important. But like the Mobile Horror Companion, their idea of asking you on the podcast is Friday night at 9:59. I'm half asleep watching TV. A message. Hey, Ganache, someone canceled. Can you come on right now? And no, I can't come on right now. I'm half asleep, motherfucker. So you
got to go.
You just
it's
do
daily,
things differently.
Man.
You do things differently. When we book people on the Pint, it's like months ahead, weeks ahead. We try to do that. And I've actually think I had you for a date and I think you had to cancel it at one point. So we'll get you
really?
On. We will get you on.
I wonder what happened there.
Yeah, well, whatever it was.
I almost canceled today. I didn't think this was going to happen.
I know.
1 o'clock.
Well, now with the advent of Zoom, too.
What do you mean?
It makes it easier to do this stuff.
It does. It makes it easier.
Yeah.
Like this.
Although not as fun. Because not I do fun. Miss the getting together.
Yeah. It's been a solid year since we've actually. Today is the 26th. And the only reason I remember this is the last episode of Pint of Comics, and Lloyd wasn't even there because he went to a concert with his daughter.
That's right.
The last episode of Pint of Comics that was recorded live with me, John, Larry, and our buddy Mike Simonetta was on Leap Day last year, February 20. I only remember because it was Leap Day, February 29th.
Because I went to a concert.
Yeah. So February 29th was the last time I pulled my actual real equipment out. So it's been weird. Like I've actually thought about when this all ends and we get. You know, the vaccines and everything, and I could start having like you guys over. I don't even know if I could use the board anymore without like literally teaching myself it again because I've been doing this shit through Zoom, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I still got a bag of candy because we were supposed to do a candy.
We were going to do it. Yeah. We were going to do a best of candy podcast. And I ended up going through my candy twice, eating it because we had to keep canceling and then COVID happened. Yeah.
The last thing that we did, or I remember we recorded also with Larry Dwyer. who he'll do anybody's podcast.
Oh, that whatever. Was like the day of the outbreak.
The day the first case was discovered in Connecticut, we had an Uber driver from Danbury, where the first case was discovered, pick us up, drive us to Derby, he came to Derby to get us, and we did it in my office with Larry. And then Brian, you went home, and the next day was discovered in your town, and it was
in my town,
the thing of the plague in Somers, New York. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a weird.
And it was literally like you didn't know what it was. Like it really was. It was like, oh, is this happening? Like, is this gonna like? I should go home. I should get home.
It was a feeling. Yeah, like oh, the shit's about to hit the fan. It kind of feels like here. Let me. All right. You know,
why would you have a question about this goddamn podcast?
Yeah, let's get back to the goddamn point at hand.
Fuck all this.
God
come on.
Damn it, Johnny Ganache. Come on here.
That wasn't me.
You invite yourself on. You go on this tangent.
I invited myself on.
He gave us 10 minutes to get ready for this interview. Now,
why a Quentin Tarantino podcast? We haven't asked like the basics of all the directors of all the gin mills or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I don't even know where that started from.
Yeah, how did
the genesis of the QT?
I like Quentin Tarantino a lot, and it's a lot easier and more succinct than Steven Spielberg. You know what I mean? Like he has 10 movies, so it's if we were to do it, you know, it would be for the most part films I enjoy, I want to talk about, and we can get it done fairly quickly. If we said let's do this with Steven Spielberg, it would be 35 movies long. You know what I mean?
And you'd have to watch
like,
always.
Yeah, like Friday, yeah.
I'm not
like
even
the Friday the 13th broadcast you guys
I'm not,
are doing.
Exactly. I'm not going to shit on Always necessarily, but there are other ones in there that I, you know, I don't want to watch Ready Player One again. So, you know, but no, it's just, I like Tarantino. I've always liked Tarantino. And it was just, for Pint of Comics, I'm just always trying to think of different cool little things we could do that might only last so long. You know, we're going to talk about this series or that series or something. And that it just came to my head, and it came to my head early too, because I think I actually talked to John about it a long time ago, and, you know, probably got the typical John, you know, whatever, you know, response.
Sir John response.
Sir John. And then it just was floating in my head. And like I said, we could,
so it was just casual conversation between you and the Mikes.
I honestly don't remember how I occasionally will talk to a Mike Field from Forgotten Entertainment on, you know, messaging, especially right around the time that they do a pint episode. And I think they had just done the Scalped episode we did with them. And I think I just said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this Tarantino thing. I'm going to use a guest per episode. Would you do one? I think that was it. And he was like, I have an idea. Let's talk about it. And that was really it.
Hey, I mean, why ask us? We've only had 19 episodes of the Mobile Horror Companion dedicated to Quentin Tarantino, including the one early on, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe it was 7 years ago. I don't know. Is True Romance racist? We did a 1 hour discussion on.
Is it racist?
But hey, that's all right. We're not. Is True Romance racist? Yeah, that was the topic.
Well,
of the
we're going to do
podcast.
A True Romance, and we'll invite you guys for that.
Yeah, we'll bring you on for.
You just said you're not doing the.
If that'll be the bonus.
If we do it, you guys.
Oh, thank you. thank you.
If the series gets picked up for the full run, we'll get the, you know,
absolutely.
We'll get
after
the
they sell all the advertising.
If we don't get canceled.
Millions.
If we don't get canceled. But,
if we don't get canceled.
But, and you're going to go in order?
Yes. So you, yes.
I can't wait to cancel you guys.
I've got a good memory for stuff. So a little bit ago before the COVID talk, you asked about how, like, we were doing this in terms of like at our leisure or whatever. So basically we talked about doing it in November. They said, okay, let's do this. We recorded the first episode. Our first episode is going to be like an introduction episode, like 10 minutes long. We haven't done that yet. We recorded Reservoir Dogs in December.
With who? With who did you do Reservoir Dogs with?
We can't say that.
Well, yeah, I think we're going to hold.
Can we say it?
We can say it. So the first episode we recorded Reservoir Dogs with our friend Laura, who we kind of met through Larry's watch parties. She's very funny and just really
it's
smart.
Funny haha?
Funny haha. very smart. She's always, she did an episode or two of Pint of Comics, and she was very good on those. So we asked her to come for the... The way we did the guests was when we got all the guests lined up, I took their names and put them in a hat and pulled them for the movies so that nobody got to pick. Very much.
Oh, so all like, the guests have already been, all the movies have already assigned guests. So there's no way we're coming on this.
Done. So Larry Dwyer is very unhappy with his pick.
Larry Dwyer got a Death Proof, which he's not happy about, but whatever. So anyways, we recorded in December with
Would anybody be happy with that?
Yeah. I'm not super happy that I got to do it.
That's a rough one.
Laura came on in December. I edited that episode and gave it to the mics. That'll be at the end of May. We recorded Pulp Fiction last month with Shane Beauregard from Media Mosh Podcast. He's a friend of ours. I got to edit that and then send that to them. And then tonight, right before this, we recorded Jackie Brown with our friend Melissa Willette, who's a custom skull art with Melissa. She's another very, very, very smart, very funny guest. And so we did
I was those hoping three so far. I was hoping Jackie Brown would be that guy, Stu from what
he
is it?
He hates that. Stu.
I know. Stu I know from, that guy. Right here, I got a problem with that guy.
Stu World Order.
Oh, you're wearing the shirt.
I'm wearing the Stu World Order shirt. Yeah. Stu
doesn't like Jackie Brown. Likes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Like didn't the new hear, one?
According to I don't know. According to Twitter, didn't have any idea who Creedence Clearwater Revival was.
Stu he doesn't like Baba O'Reilly. 2000.
So yeah.
Stu doesn't like music, period. So like, or at least good music. But besides that, he is actually coming on. Because
great guest, guys.
He is a good guest. He's a good guest.
He likes playing games.
He is doing. He picked Django Unchained, or we picked Django Unchained for him. However it works. So
okay, gotcha. That's another one. That's a Tarantino one. I can't stand. I can't watch. I can't sit through that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one.
Like, you know, Bastards, I had never Django. Seen that one.
See,
I watched it recently, and I kind of liked it. Yeah,
I have to. It's a toss up.
To admit it.
For my worst, besides Death Proof, I mean, I think we all can. If you take that one out,
Four Rooms.
Well, I don't consider that one either.
We're not doing that either.
We're not doing that.
But like, it's Inglourious Basterds or Django. Whatever I'm in the mood for, it could flip to which one I don't like.
Oh man, Inglourious Basterds is one of my favorites. Oh, wow.
Actually, Inglourious Basterds is probably leading because I like Django. I love when that song Freedom comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's amazing, but I don't think it's a good Western. I think The Hateful Eight is a better Western. You know,
so what I like about
so
Tarantino.
Many people hate on that, and I don't hate that.
Oh, I love that
either.
Movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I've only, you know, as we go along in these movies, I'll fully admit. I've only seen Django and The Hateful Eight once. So when we rewatch these, it's going to be kind of a solidifying point. And I've still, to this point, never seen Once Upon a Time. I've owned it forever. I have not watched it yet. Yeah, I know. I haven't watched it. So I think we talked about it on another podcast where I wasn't sure if I'm going to save it for the recording or watch it once like now. And then when we record in a few months, watch it again.
You should at least watch it twice before we actually do the podcast.
Yeah. I figure that's probably fair, but
you can't go
that being said,
watching.
That being said, Django and Hateful Eight for me were two kind of misfires. Like they both have a lot of good stuff in them. Django, I remember particularly being way too long. Like it could have been trimmed down a bit, and The Hateful Eight kind of suffered from the same thing. But
well, you could watch 8 hours of that on Netflix.
Yeah, and I do it all the time. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie now. Like, that's all like another one of mine. It's grown on me the more I watch it.
Oh, that's interesting, because I've watched it, but it's not one I can revisit. I'm not a fan of Inglourious Basterds or Death Proof, or what was the other one we were talking about? Oh,
Django?
Yeah, Django. That's what I'm trying to say. But what I like about...
I've liked that one the best. The Death Proof. It was a really fun art piece that I did.
Oh, the of art. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like about Tarantino, because we're all about the same age. He was such a huge impact on the scene in like the early 90s. Right. We're all of a certain age.
Yeah.
But like the world has changed so much, not only since he first came around, but just in the last, you know, since Hateful Eight came out. In terms of all the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter and, you know, America going into sort of a quasi-fascism state, a Trumptonian American version of fascism the last couple of years. So it's sort of like, it's interesting just to watch, go back to Reservoir Dogs, or even though he didn't direct it, A True Romance, because I don't know. He's the one guy who's making original films nowadays.
Yeah.
you know, and it's interesting. Like,
but is he? Because I think that's the beauty of him. He just rips off everyone else. He does it so well, and he makes it an opera.
But I'm talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I like what you just said there.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is not a ripoff. Like, I mean, what are they doing? Cobra Kai is that all those shows? They're all just selling our nostalgia to us. That's the entire entertainment industry.
It's all intellectual property. It's
that and whatever the fuck WandaVision is. Like, that's Tarantino is separate and apart from that. But at the same time, man, he used the N-word too much in Pulp Fiction. It's just sort of disturbing now, the fact that his movies have so quickly become, in some parts, dated and cringy. That usually takes like 50 years. You look back, you're like, whoa, I can't believe they were doing that. Now that window, I feel, is like so much narrower.
Well, I mean,
if that makes sense.
Things are cringy. You know, there's levels of cringiness. And we actually discussed this in the Reservoir Dogs episode, and we haven't talked about it since then because...
Yeah, you know, we didn't bring it up in Jackie Brown.
Because I think if you listen to that episode, you get our feeling for it, and it goes forward. But like Jackie Brown... The N-word is said 38 times.
38 times. Third most in any of his movies.
It's, you know, and again, there's the half of it where it's like, okay, he's trying to write characters that are authentic and are authentic for what type of character they are. Low life, criminal, probably not the most educated. These are probably things that these people would say. But then you got to say, at what point does it become overindulgent where it's 38 times in a movie? And we kind of had that discussion, and Laura, our guest, actually kind of said it best, where she doesn't know if it's the place for three white people to really figure out. And I kind of agree with her because I think it's like
Pulp Fiction when he gives himself the lines. The Bonnie situation. Where it's like
we didn't discuss that in the Pulp Fiction episode because I think we were just trying to get past that because you could add on 20 minutes to every episode with that.
Right. We only discuss it in Reservoir Dogs.
But I will say when I rewatch Pulp Fiction, which I had seen a million times in my 20s and hadn't seen in a long time, that jumped out at me immediately was that he's saying that word repeatedly in that Bonnie situation, you know, skit or moment. And I thought, man, that's. I don't know how to feel about that. Cause again, you know, the one thought I had to myself was that if no matter how good of a friend I was with a guy like Jules, would Jules ever be okay with me, white ass Jimmy, saying that word to him? And I didn't know if that rang as true or if it just rang as self-indulgent. I'm going to use this word because he famously said, you know, like, well, once, you know, you give a word power, you know, it becomes too much. But, you know, that's one word that maybe.
He also said he has the right to write those words. Like, he has a right to write those words.
And he does. And that's where that's where the split lies, is that, again, I don't know what's right or you know, if he's too much, if he's too little or not too little. If it's too much, if it can be used, if it shouldn't be used. But, like, it as you watch these movies back, especially Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and now Jackie Brown, it becomes so obvious and it is cringy because, you know, Jackie Brown's 1997, man, we're in 2021. Even though we look at that as like not that old of a movie, it's half of my lifetime ago, you know?
Yeah. So I've been watching
about Jackie Brown. I think too, that's an Elmore Leonard book. It had a whole,
I also just
been established by somebody else.
One of the interviews I was listening to today, it was about, he was promoting Hateful Eight and he brings up, the interviewer says Jackie Brown's his favorite, which he says, oh, well, then you don't like Quentin Tarantino movies, because he says it's more like that was his, at that time in his life, it was more, he was trying to make a great Elmore Leonard movie, but he looks at that as like that's not a Quentin
adaptation.
Tarantino. Yes.
Right. He also said
that a lot of people, like, I think he was 52 when he made Hateful Eight, that like that's a movie people expect him to make at 52, Jackie Brown, because it's slower. Which I think he reflected, and I think his answer is some of it is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, I think that is his closest to Jackie Brown, and I think that's him, you know, still, you know, being in your face with his dialogue and tempting you. Because I also think some of this, sometimes he writes it. So it is written about. I think he wants some of this controversy.
Oh, yeah. Because
it does have people talk about his movies.
Well, he's an interesting personality, because I had that book. I think it was called Shooting from the Hip, and it was written by, and I could be totally wrong, this is all from my memory from like the early 90s or mid 90s. They were the producers who like made Natural Born Killers, I think. They were the first people to sort of, with money.
Yeah, the guy that got into a fight with him.
Well, yeah, he basically, he had written like love notes, and they printed his notes, and his handwriting was like, you know, it was just like scary. Like he didn't seem literate, and there were spelling errors. But they kind of portray him as this sort of crazy dude prone to throwing his fists a lot. And then I just saw like last week on Reddit, it made like the front page of Reddit. Somebody was like, I could watch Tarantino beat up paparazzi all day. And it was like Tarantino coming out of a coffee shop somewhere. It looked like maybe it was in like, I don't know, with a Sundance Film Festival. Cause it was like, you know, it wasn't like a nice place or a Hollywood place. It looked like he was in the middle of nowhere. And there's one guy filming him, and Tarantino goes over, smacks the camera and starts threatening him. And it's just like, and he looks like he just woke up. Like, why is this guy doing this? So he's prickly. And the fact that he says all that,
Letterman did a,
he's always sort of combated with the press.
Letterman did an interview where he threatened Letterman or something.
Oh, really?
I think did he tell it on that on the talk show on Showtime? He did. I don't know where he was. It was a very famous story how he kept getting called.
Oh, that's right. He called up Letterman. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Threatened to kill him. Huh? I'm coming over here to kill you.
Letterman made a joke about him. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think he's a nut job. I'm sure he's nuts. I think that's why he's genius.
A story about him that I read recently, you know, not even for the show, because we're not digging into Tarantino as a person or you know, they're just doing his movies. But one of the ones I didn't know about, because I don't think she talked about it for so long, was the fact that like he essentially got, it seems, Uma Thurman like seriously hurt on Kill Bill Volume 2. Yep. And didn't yep. apologize, didn't, and they didn't talk for like 18 years. And he wouldn't admit his fault in it, and until finally he did.
I think he's no longer with his producing partner because of that.
Yeah, that came out.
Lawrence Bender.
That came out in the New York Times. She did a whole article on it, Uma Thurman. Right.
It was during the Me Too. It was all like when she throws
Harvey Weinstein,
deservedly so, Weinstein under the bus. Listen, I think.
And there's video. It's on video.
Yeah.
The crash.
Oh, I've never seen the video. Because
It was on the Times website. Yeah.
It's in the movie. They just cut out 5 frames where it looks really bad when she really crashes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And I mean, all that being said, you know, I'm a huge Tarantino fan. Like I said, I think the guy's a complete original, even if he does crib some other stuff. But let me ask you guys something. Because I've said this a million times on the podcast, but maybe people won't remember. If there was one person, an actor, living or dead, that you'd like to see in a Tarantino movie, you know, to recite that Tarantino dialogue and to go on that Tarantino weirdo narrative, broken adventure, who would it be?
Mm. Oh, that's good. Lloyd, you want to take that?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'll preface it while I'm thinking by saying that up until Hateful Eight, I would have said Walton Goggins, because that guy is awesome. And now he's obviously got him, you know.
You know, he's in there.
He's in there.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Timothy Oliphant get a bigger part.
Yeah, I'm a big Oliphant fan. I've got a serious male heterosexual crush on that too. Guy.
I watch Justified every day.
Come on. Justified, you know, I still fantastic. Need to watch Justified. I've seen a few episodes, but...
It's good. It's just
I'm working through Deadwood first, and then I'm gonna hit Justified.
Yeah. That's the order to do it in. I mean, Deadwood is just
yeah.
All right,
I'll give you mine while you guys are still thinking.
All right,
I'm sorry, I have scissors in my hand. But Charles Bronson, I would have.
All right, yeah, Charles Bronson.
I would have given my left thumb to see Charlie freaking Bronson in a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, but it has to be pre.
What? Why you gotta qualify? No, I want old man Bronson.
Oh, really?
And he just lived a little. I mean either. Why you gotta crimp up?
Okay, if you're gonna go with someone that's not with us anymore, then I'll
living or dead.
I'll adjust the timeline a little bit. I would have liked to have seen him with like maybe like early to mid 90s Heat era Al Pacino, you know.
Or Val Kilmer for that matter.
Val Kilmer, but Al Pacino, you know, like you know, she's got a great ass like that.
Wait, you want the ham? You want the hammy Al Pacino as opposed to like the Serpico Pacino who could act?
Yes, well, he could act in that time too. It's different.
Scent of a Woman.
I've never seen Scent of a Woman.
The onslaught. That is the that is when he solidified his she's got a great ass phase.
Hoo-ha! Okay, so hoo-ha! So if then I think that version of him would be great. I would have loved to have seen more Christopher Walken too, because we only get that one bit in Pulp Fiction. It would have been great.
Yeah, a little bit in Pulp.
He does that. Right. That's like the greatest line delivery.
All right, a dead guy. I got a good dead guy. I think. Vic Morrow
from the Twilight Zone.
And like I'm thinking he's the dad in Bad News Bears, right?
The coach.
Oh, the of the Yankees or whatever.
Yeah, like he's the greatest bad dad in the world. Like that look in a Tarantino.
You just made me think of another one. If you cast Walter Matthau as like a bad guy in a Tarantino. How awesome would that be? A cursing Walter Matthau.
Michael Caine.
See, we could do this all day because the actors of that generation, you know, they were like
they were ugly.
They were like Gene Hackman.
Tarantino's channeling.
I haven't given my answer yet.
No, we are. All right, Lloyd's like.
I want Judi Dench.
The Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, Dame Judi Dench. I want to see what she can do with Tarantino.
You want to see like a British, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would she be a criminal what type of role do you envision her in a Tarantino movie?
What type of role? Like the Kingpin kind of role.
That's interesting.
All right, it's different. If I had to pick one other actor that's around right now that I just like as an actor a lot that I think could do almost anything, it's Patrick Wilson. I love that dude, and I think
who's Patrick Wilson?
He's
in Watchmen. He's the owl in Watchmen.
He's Night Owl in Watchmen. He was in.
He's in
Connecticut Ghost Hunters. Oh,
all right. Okay.
Fargo season two, I think.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Thanks.
I think he's a great actor. I think he's really underrated, and I think he could do something with that too.
James Earl Haley, right? Is that the guy from Breaking Bad?
James Earl
Breaking
Haley.
Away?
Jackie Earl Haley.
Also in Watchmen.
Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah.
Jackie.
I watched. I'm sorry.
How about the guy from Herman's Head? Who is that?
William Ragsdale.
The big dude.
The big dude, the
hefty actor. He was also in ER.
Oh, Ben, Larry's Lunch from Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Larry.
Yes, that guy.
Abraham Ben Ruby.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy.
I have no idea who that is, but
if you saw him have you ever seen the fantastically underrated Open Range with
Yes.
He's the big guy in
Robert Duvall.
He's the big guy with them. That I think he gets killed, right? He goes in the town and gets killed, and that's that's Abraham Ben Ruby.
All right, I know him if I saw him.
You would know him if you saw him.
He's humongous. He's a giant dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
I would love to see what he could do.
All right.
Ellen DeGeneres?
No, okay.
You're just going off. You're going off the.
All right. I apologize for that one.
Ellen DeGeneres in a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Man, you see. So when does this podcast on the QT? I don't know if we've ever mentioned the name of it, but when you probably said this, but when can people hear the first episode?
The Reservoir Dogs episode is the last week of May. It will be on whatever the Tuesday is, and I think we're gonna do, like I said, like a 10 or 11 minute like little intro episode. We might not even do that, but it would be the week before, just introducing who we are, talking about Pint of Comics a little bit, and then you know talking about going into it. But we've done three episodes so far. I think the way I've been kind of telling the people that I have talked to about it is we're not reinventing the wheel. If you listen or have ever listened to Pint of Comics and heard us review a movie, it's the same thing with a different title. You know, we didn't try to go, okay, we're going to come at this from a different way. No.
Right.
It's
a little tighter than our normal episodes.
Yeah. They want us to be, Pint of Comics episodes can run an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes because we try to keep it less than 2 hours, but I also try to keep it to the point where if we want to talk about this movie, we're going to talk about it. If people are listening to it, they're listening to it. I don't want to be necessarily stymied by that on Pint of Comics. But these guys are doing a thing, and they said try to keep it to like an hour and 15. And actually, I've got to admit, it's been kind of a nice like little training exercise, because I'm used to it from when me and John did the radio show. We've got an hour. We've got to get everything we want to do in an hour and get it done. And I haven't had that in a while. So when we sit down to do these On the QT episodes, I look at the time, which I don't normally do. And I go, okay, in 1 hour and 15 minutes, we've got to have gotten through everything that we want to get through.
That's funny, because I start getting squirrely now after 40 minutes is like my max.
I notice.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, they're a little shorter.
I notice. I'm a fan. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm glad I'm not paying for this shit, because I'm getting 36 minute long episodes. I'm getting 17 minute long bullshit episodes of the Mobile
It's
Horror
a bonus
Companion.
Episode.
It isn't bonus. A bonus. In fact, it's shit that you cut out of another episode and you didn't.
Because I was only 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's it, guys. I want to thank you both for gracing us with your appearance, Lloyd Green and Johnny Ganache.
John,
and
thank you for having us. Just come on.
John Amenta's good.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm bad. That's it. You're stuck with Johnny Ganache as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
But are you like, that's your persona on this show?
No, it's not. I don't only even do it. This show. I don't even do it on Pint of Comics anymore.
It's old news, right?
It's kind of old news. I don't mind it. I don't get mad about it. It's just, it's one of those things that like, the only reason I ever did it was when we started the radio show. The DJ told me you got to have a name. Okay. I picked that name, and then it kind of stuck on that and everything. But yeah, on the podcast, it's just John. I just go with John.
But I saw some, like, you had merchandise. It looked like there was like a shirt with your likeness on it that I came across.
Oh, no. That's Lloyd's art.
That's my art.
That's fake. That's it's a black shirt with
fake. That's fake.
Well, it's fake. It's is it a real shirt? Look at Lloyd's.
No,
spicy.
But we should make it a real shirt. I think it's pretty cool.
I saw it. I was like, oh, Johnny Ganache merch.
Let me reboot my phrase. It is currently not a real shirt. It is just a piece of art put over another over.
It may
shirt.
Be in the future.
Yeah,
I was gonna. Yeah, I Who guess I'll end with it's very effective because I remembered it. I don't even know where I saw it, but it stuck with me. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So there's that. You're welcome, Lloyd. I love you.
Thank you. Love you guys too, man.
All right. So listen to Pint of Comics all the time and keep an ear out for May-ish for On the QT, a new podcast from these two gentlemen, which is a partnership with Forgotten Entertainment and their entire podcast network. And I guess we should probably throw out the fact that it's ForgottenEntertainment.com, ForgottenEntertainment.com to listen to all this stuff. So for Mr. Spears and Mr. Green and John Amenta, this is Carlos Danger. I will continue to use my fake name because I am ashamed to do this. See you next time on the Mobile Horror Companion.
Later.
Later.